I'm going to take a giant step on this issue for the rights of the consumer. Ortiz and Assemblyman Martin Luster, Democrat from Ithaca, the chairman of the Mental Health Committee, have a legitimate reason to be concerned, considering the Office of Mental Health doctor who testified during the hearings in support of the controversial therapy. The doctor is the state's electric shock czar, Dr. Harold Sachem of the New York State Psychiatric Institute, the state's well-respected cash-producing research giant. Sachem didn't bother to tell the committee he has worked as a consultant for the nation's two leading shock machine producers, Somanix Corporation in Illinois and Metga in Oregon. He even lists the companies on his 11-page resume. Sachem acknowledged in a 1996 Washington Post article that he never accepted cash payments for his consulting work because he doesn't want it to seem like he's personally benefiting. The money is, however, funneled to his lab. He got $1,000 from Somanix and several tens of thousands from Metga, the artist said. Sachem, who was out of town and unavailable for comment, has also gotten millions of dollars in research grants from the National Institute of Mental Health to zap people. Advocates charged that electric shock program at the Office of Mental Health hospitals is a systemized experiment because no government agency has yet officially approved the practice or the machines used. Ortiz's comprehensive bill would require the state to monitor and inspect all electric shock machines to make sure they are safe and functioning well, which the state incredibly doesn't bother to do. The bill would also require the Office of Mental Health to provide electric shock patients with independent advocates in case their families are not available before and after the treatment because long and short-term memory loss is a common side effect. Ortiz's bill is one that comes from his heart, triggered by a friend in need who probably won't remember the effort. Now, there were just a handful of us. There was two medical doctors, one a neurologist, who flew in from San Francisco, one a retired psychiatrist who actually used electric shock here in New York. There was a psychologist from Texas who flew up, and there were approximately seven individuals who had personal experience and been victimized by the psychiatric community or electric shock specifically. And I also testified as an advocate for examining the truth in the matter, something that Ortiz and others were just perplexed by. And that's because all the original speakers all day at the beginning were orthodox individuals who challenged that there was nothing wrong with electric shock, that it was a proven benefit for people suffering from depression and suicide tendencies. I presented a detailed, comprehensive, in-depth investigative look at the scientific literature, including the individuals who were there to testify on behalf of electric shock, showing that their own studies published in the Journal of the American Medical Association and other publications disproved their advocacy position. Hopefully, that was one of the things that might have motivated Ortiz and others to examine the urgency. I spoke with Ortiz on Saturday, the day after the hearing, at some length, and provided additional insight and information that the orthodox position, Office of Mental Health, had conveniently neglected. So it does make a difference when people speak out. We were a minority. Rita DiCarlo and others who came there, the Citizens Commission on Human Rights, that has been just terrific in their efforts, brought forward people like Mr. Frank from California. And yet we, just a few, managed to challenge, and up to this point, at least present enough information and stories of the side effects that has caused the legislation to at least be initiated. I'm less interested in them inspecting the safety and efficacy of a machine than inspecting the safety and efficacy of the therapy to which the machine is used. I'm less interested in a health inspector telling me that E. coli is in meat or not in meat than understanding what the reason would be to use meat in the first place. I would like to see a ban on electroconvulsive therapy. like to see that no one ever be forced to have to have it. And I would like to see that every single person in the United States who chooses electric convulsive therapy or is told that it was a necessary treatment be given a report that I have prepared. So if they examine the report, look at it carefully, have it explained to them, it's in lay language, that if they choose the therapy, then it's they're honoring their freedom of choice, and I cannot intercede in that process. But if they didn't know the facts, that it does not help with depression at all, it does not prevent suicide at all, actually increases it, and that it can wipe out your memory permanently in some people, that never comes back, then at least they will have that information. Right now, they do not. And the state of New York is at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to protecting the patient's right. So I just want to thank the people who have stepped forward on this particular issue, because never let it be said that just a handful of people can't make a difference. You can. We can. We did. Now let's go to a continuation of the report that I began on my last program, sharing more information on electroconvulsive therapy. And today, I'm going to quote, as I did not have a chance, on the report for the National Head Injury Foundation on electric shock as head injury. I'll be quoting verbatim from that report, and time permitting, I will report on some other issues as well. Electric shock, variously known as electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, shock treatment, or simply shock, is the practice of applying 70 to 150 volts of household electrical current to the human brain in order to produce a grand mal or generalized seizure. Now, a course of electroconvulsive therapy usually consists of 8 to 15 shocks. Oh, by the way, and Paul Henry Thomas, he's already at 60, and the judge has allowed the state to give him another 40, and all against his will at this point. Psychiatrists use electroconvulsive therapy on persons with a wide range of psychiatric labels, from depression to mania, and have recently begun to use it on persons without psychiatric labels who have medical diseases such as Parkinson's. A conservative estimate is that at least 100,000 persons receive electroconvulsive therapy each year. But by all accounts, this number is growing substantially, especially among the elderly and those in nursing homes. Electroconvulsive therapy is given almost in all state hospitals. It is also concentrated in private for-profit hospitals. It has dramatically changed behavior and mood, which is construed as improvement of psychiatric symptoms. However, since psychiatric symptoms usually recur, often after a little as a month, psychiatrists are now promoting maintenance ECT, one electrical grand mal seizure every few weeks, given indefinitely. There are now five decades of evidence of electroconvulsive therapy's brain damage and memory loss. The evidence is of four types: animal studies, human autopsy studies, human in vivo studies, which use either modern brain imaging techniques or neuropsychological testing to assess damage, and survivor self-reports or narrative interviews. Most of the studies, the effects of electroconvulsive therapy on animals were done in the 40s and 50s. There are at least seven very comprehensive documented studies on brain damage in shocked animals, such as Freiberg and Morgan. The best-known study is that of Hans Hartelius in 1952, in which brain damage was consistently found in cats given a relatively short course of electroconvulsive therapy. He concluded, quote, "The question of whether or not irreversible damage to the nerve cells may occur is associated with electroconvulsive therapies, must therefore be answered in the affirmative," unquote. Human autopsy studies were done on persons who died during or shortly after electroconvulsive therapy. Some died directly as a result of massive brain damage during the procedure. There are more than 20 reports of neuropathology in human autopsies dating from the 1940s to 1978. Many of these patients had what is called modern or modified electroconvulsive therapy. It's necessary to clarify briefly here what is meant by modified. Because one of the things in the New York Times Magazine article and some of these other publications promoting it is that there's a new form, a more humane form, a gentler form. It's a lie. Absolute out-and-out lie. Absolutely nothing has changed. Absolutely zero. It is not because they're still using a general anesthesia, a muscle paralyzing drugs to prevent bone fractures, and there is no difference in the amount of brain damage that can be done today. Now, although this claim is made for public relations reasons, just remember there are those who have studies that I have offered, like Dr. Edward Kofi, head of the Electroconvulsive Therapy Department at Duke University Medical Center, and a very prominent advocate, promoter, cheerleader for electroconvulsive therapy. But he tells his students in a training seminar, quote, "This is the practical advances in electroconvulsive therapy," unquote. He says, quote, "It is indicative for anesthetic is simply that it reduces the anxiety and the fear and the panic that are associated or that could be associated with the treatment." Okay, it doesn't do anything else beyond that. There are, however, significant disadvantages in using an anesthetic drug. During electroconvulsive therapy, the anesthetic elevates seizure threshold. Very, very critical, unquote. So, it is necessary to use more electricity to the brain, not less, with a modified, improved, more humane electroconvulsive therapy, hardly making for a safer procedure. But unfortunately, the legislators, hearing only one side of the issue, didn't look at the fine print, the truth. In addition, the muscle-paralyzing drugs used in modified electroconvulsive therapy amplify the risk. They make the patient unable to breathe independently. And as Dr. Kofi points out, this means risks of paralysis and prolonged apnea. Another common shock claim of shock doctors and publicists is that, quote, "it saves lives," unquote. That was said on Friday's testimony. That's a lie. Or it prevents suicide. Absolutely not true. You can quickly dispose of these arguments. There is simply no evidence anywhere in the scientific literature to support these claims. The one study on electroconvulsive therapy and suicide by Avery and Winokur in 1976 shows that electroconvulsive therapy had no effects on suicidal rate. Case studies, neuroanatomical testing, neurophysiological testing, self-reports that remain strikingly similar after over 50 years testify to the devastating effects on memory, identity, cognition. Recent CAT scan studies showing a relationship between ECT and brain atrophy and abnormalities include Calloway in 1981, Weinberger studies 1979, Dolan and Calloway in 1986. The vast majority of electroconvulsive therapy research has focused and continues to focus on the effects of electroconvulsive on memory for good reasons. Memory loss is a symptom of brain damage. And as neurologist Dr. John Freiberg says, electroconvulsive therapy causes more permanent memory loss than any severe closed head injury with coma or almost any other insult or disease of the brain. Reports of catastrophic memory loss date back to the very beginning of its use. The definitive study of electroconvulsive therapy's memory effects remains that of Irving Janis. Janis conducted detailed and exhaustive autobiographical interviews of patients before and then attempted the shock therapy and then attempted to elicit the same information 4 weeks afterwards. Controls who did not have electroconvulsive therapy gave the same identical interviews. He found, quote, "Every single one, no exception, 100% of the patients in the study showed at least several life instances of amnesia, and in many cases, from 10 to 20 year life experiences with the patient could not recall," unquote. Now that means your education. It also means your family history, relationships. You could have had a daughter who was 17 and the entire pregnancy, birth, raising the child, and the child graduating from high school, all permanently erased. That's a side effect. And that's, I'm quoting the definitive article in the scientific literature, a proponent Dr. Irving Janis, and he's saying 100% suffered. Studies in the 1970s and 80s confirmed Janis's finding. Dr. Squire found that the amnesic effects of electroencephalography can extend to remote memory. He documented a 30-year retrograde amnesia following electroencephalography for 30 years, wiped out. Friedman and Kendall reports that 74% of patients questioned years after electroencephalography had memory impairment. Taylor and associates found methodological flaws in studies that purport to show no memory loss and documented deficits in the autobiographical memory several months after electroencephalography. Fronin and Och found impairment of both verbal and nonverbal memory. Squire and Slater found that 3 years after shock, the majority of survivors report, quote, poor memory. 3 years later, the majority. And yet, the American Psychiatric Association would like us to believe that it's rare. They lie. The highest governmental authority on medical matters in the United States, the Food and Drug Administration, agrees that electroconvulsive therapy is not good for your health. It names brain damage and memory loss as two of the risks of electroconvulsive therapy. The FDA is responsible for regulating medical devices, such as the machines used to administer electroconvulsive therapy. Each device is assigned a risk classification. Risk 1, class 1, basically safe. Class 2, for devices whose safety can be assured by standardized labeling. Class 3, for devices which pose, quote, a potential unreasonable risk injury or illness under all circumstances. As a result of a public hearing in 1979 at which survivors and professionals testified, the ECT machine was assigned class 3, meaning unreasonable risk of injury or illness and under all circumstances. There remains today, despite a well-organized lobbying campaign by the American Psychiatric Association. The best partner that the pharmaceutical industry has ever found, the Psychiatric Association. And here we have people who still believe that it's good for them. Their statements challenge the assumption that survivors recover. Most of my life from 1975 to 79 is a fog. I remember some things when reminded by friends, but others' reminders remain a mystery. My best friend since high school in the 1960s died recently, and with her went a big part of my life because she knew all about me and used to help me out with parts I couldn't remember, unquote. Quote, I haven't had a shock for over 10 years, but now I still feel sad that I can't remember most of the late childhood or any of my high school days. I can't even remember my first intimate experience. What I know of my life is secondhand. My family has told me bits and pieces, and I have my high school yearbooks. But my family generally remembers the bad times, usually how I screwed up the family life, and the face in the yearbook are all told to strangers, unquote. Quote, as a result of these so-called treatments, the years 1966-69 are almost totally blank in my mind. In addition, the 5 years preceding 1966 are severely fragmented and blurred. My entire college education has been wiped out. I have no recollection of ever being at the University of Hartford. I know that I graduated from the institution because a diploma I have bears my name, but I don't remember receiving it. It's been 10 years since I received electric shock, and my memory is still as blank as it was the day I left the hospital. There's nothing temporary about the nature of memory loss due to electric shock. It is permanent, devastating, and irreparable. That's from Patel, unquote. Both psychiatrist Peter Bregan and electroconvulsive survivor Marilyn Rice, who I've had on this program, both of them, she's founder of the Committee of Truth in Psychiatry, have pointed out that minor head injury as a result of trauma often occurs without loss of consciousness, seizures, or disorientation or confusion, and is thus much less traumatic than a series of electric shocks. A better analogy would be that each individual shock is the equivalent of one moderate to severe head injury. The typical electroconvulsive patient receives then at least 10 major internal head injuries in rapid succession. they have created, the state has caused Paul Henry Thomas 60 head injuries, internal head injuries, as bad as if he were in a car accident. And now they want to give him 40 more. And this is a judge. My God, what a pathetic excuse for representing the best interests of the people in the court system. Both psychiatrists have pointed out that Bregan and also Marilyn Rice Advocate, that minor head injury is always going to be a side effect. Proponents as well as opponents of electroconvulsive therapy have long recognized it as a form of head injury. As a neurologist and electroencephalographer, I have seen many patients after electroconvulsive therapy, and I have no doubt that electroconvulsive therapy produces effects identical to those of a head injury. After multiple sessions of electroconvulsive therapy, a patient has symptoms identical to those of a retired punch-drunk boxer, unquote. What shock does is throw a blanket over a person's problems. It would be no different than if you were troubled about something in your life and you got into a car accident and had a concussion. For a while, you wouldn't worry about what was bothering you because you'd be so disoriented. That's exactly what shock therapy does. But in a few weeks, when the shock wears off, your problems come back. We don't have a treatment. What we do is inflict a closed head injury on people in spiritual crisis. Closed head injury. And we have a vast literature on closed head injury. My colleagues are not eager to have literature on electric shock closed head injury, but we have it in every other field. And we have considerably more than people are allowing for here today. It is electrical closed head injury, unquote. There's never been any debate about the immediate effect of a shock. It produces an acute organic brain syndrome, which becomes more pronounced as shock continues. The ECT-induced seizure, like spontaneous generalized seizures in epileptics and most acute brain injury and head trauma, results in a variable period of disorientation. People don't remember their names, their ages. It is marked organicity, and it can be extreme. Quote, some people seem to undergo drastic personality changes. They come in the hospital as organized, thoughtful people who have a good sense of what their problems are. Weeks later, I see them wandering around the halls disoriented and dependent. They become so scrambled, they can't even have a conversation. Then they leave the hospital in worse shape than they came in. Unquote. That's a psychiatric nurse. A standard information sheet for electroconvulsive patients calls a period of most acute organic brain syndrome a, quote, convalescent period, unquote, and warns patients not to drive, work, or drink for 3 weeks. That's according to New York Hospital Cornell Medical Center update. Coincidentally, 4 weeks is the maximum time period for which proponents of electroconvulsive therapy can claim alleviation of psychiatric symptoms. Substantiating the statement made by Dr. Bregan and throughout the electroconvulsive literature that organic brain syndrome and the therapeutic effect are the same phenomena, meaning what you're doing is you're creating such damage that the person is disoriented so doesn't focus on the cause. Let me put it in a little different perspective. One primary group in the Holocaust that actually preceded the major part of the Holocaust was the psychiatry community within Germany that, with rare exception or protest, joined together in a genocide, the elimination of mental patients in hospitals. There's film footage that I have seen of them popping corks of champagne in psychiatric hospitals where the psychiatrists were celebrating the euthanasia of 10,000 patients. Mass murder. When we look at what would be done in another country, let's say that we heard on the news tonight that an individual, against their will and held in restraint, had had electrodes tied to their genitals and shocked, and we see the breathing and the pain and the suffering, we would call that barbaric and inhumane. And we would then challenge that as a human rights violation everywhere in the world. And yet, if you were in a room, you would see electrodes not on the genitalia, but on the brain. And you'd see, without the anesthesia, the breathing and the enormous challenge to the person. And we consider that humane. In Russia, for over 50 years, the primary form of dissident control of the intellectuals, the artists, and the political activists was electric shock therapy and drug therapy and psychiatric institutions. Did you see major protests by the American Psychiatric Association against the system and against the psychiatrists doing it? No. Individuals, yes, but not as a whole. If at this time patients were given a written order to write their name, they would not ordinarily follow the command after electric shock. Quote, if then the request was repeated orally, the patient would take the pencil and write his name. At first, the patient produces only scribbling and has to be constantly urged to continue. He may even drop back into sleep, but soon the initial of the first name can be clearly discernible. Unquote. How would you feel waking up in the morning and not knowing who you were, where you were at? Quote, he may ask if he's in jail and if he's committed a crime. The efforts of the patients to reestablish their orientation almost always follow the same line. Where am I? Who am I? What is my name? I don't know. Unquote. The patient's behavior when asked to perform a task such as to get up from the bed where he lies demonstrates another aspect of the process of recovery. He does not act according to the voiced intentions. Recently, Dr. Max Fink, the country's best-known shock doctor, offered to let the media interview a patient right after a course of electric shock for a fee of $40,000, according to Dr. Bragan. There's long-term effects. On our next program, or in our next segment, I will go into the long-term effects of electric shock. I'm Gary Nall. Continuation of our ongoing in-depth investigative reporting series on abuses in psychiatry, electroconvulsive therapy, a second opinion. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
And good afternoon once again. It is 12:34 in New York at 99.5 FM WBAI. The name of this program is Natural Living with Gary Nall, and we're in the spring fundraising drive here at WBAI, trying to raise funds to keep this radio station on the air so that we can continue bringing you programs like Natural Living with Gary Nall. And we have two premium that we're offering today for your support to this radio station. It's written by Gary Nall. The first one is The Joy of Juicing, Creative Cooking with Your Juicer, by Gary Nall and Shelley Nall. Shelley Nall, the author of Healthy Cooking for Kids and Vegetarian Cooking for Good Health. That, The Joy of Juicing, is yours for a pledge of $75 at WBAI at 212-209-2950. Now, you can combine that with the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right the second time for a pledge of $150. If you'd like the Baby Boomer's Guide in and of itself, you can do that by pledging $100 to WBAI. And there are many ways that you can go about making those pledges, but we do need to hear those phones ringing with your support, with your pledges, with your subscriptions to WBAI. Matthew Finch, as always, is joining me in Master Control this morning, afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hi, fellas.
Hi. We have three callers on the line, and again, today is going to be a brief broadcast. We're going just up until 1. Mm-hmm. So thank you for those first three calls, and we do need to see things move as quickly as possible.
Did you get that we were adding a premium today?
I think we're saving that for tomorrow.
But okay.
Just because this window is so narrow, we really would need a lot of time to explain what that thing
absolutely
would be.
Yeah. All right. Let me just say a couple things. I believe that if people looked at the benefit of two premiums together, The Joy of Juicing, and let me just recapitulate, because I know not everyone listens every day, and we always have new people coming on board. Those recipes were designed, created, with several intents. First, there's so many people who want to get healthier. They don't really know how. And I didn't realize there were some missing links out there until I got enough feedback of people saying, all right, you say eat your vegetables, you say, you know, have more fruit, you say become a vegetarian, and that you should have this amount of juice in a day. But I don't know how to do it, Gary. I just don't. And I didn't know this until about 3 or 4 months into some of the programs, and people were coming and listening to the oral part of the arguments, you know, listening to the lectures and whatnot, but they weren't really changing. And then when I started seeing the homework, I started saying, why aren't you making greater changes? Well, they would eat okay when they went out to a, you know, to a vegetarian restaurant, or they stopped off at a salad bar and grabbed a salad. And they say, you know, but it gets really tedious. It gets boring after a while, eating, you know, the same foods over and over again. Or they'd have some rice and beans. And they weren't doing the real juicing because not everybody had a juicer. So I said, all right, we've got a problem. What is the most reasonable solution? So it was a daunting task because I first had to create dishes that people would like to taste. If something doesn't taste right, people are not going to use it. And so to do that, I had to do an enormous amount of testing. Some recipes, like there were some juices that were extremely good for people, but they didn't like the taste. So I had to have it over and over. One juice in particular, a detoxification juice that's in the Joy Juicing, I'd made that over 40 times before it was perfect, that everybody gave it a 10 on their cards. And but not only did I have to make healthy things taste good, I had to also consider, what about people who have chemical sensitivities, environmental illness, people who have allergies, people who are on restricted diets, people who are overweight, people who have arthritis and diabetes and fibromyalgia and migraines, and people who have lupus and congestive heart failure and cancer and enlarged prostates. I had to consider all that because I wanted to give them healing nutrients in their food. So every single recipe, without exception in this book, has nutrients I specifically selected that enhance the healing process. And some are very specific, and others are overall systematic or systemic enhancement. For instance, I had to put them in there so that it kind of be disguised. You couldn't taste anything, because a lot of kids, if they think something's good for them, not going to eat it. A lot of adults, not going to do it in any case. So when I had a detox tonic on page 18, I had to make it so you could blend it, because not everybody has juicers. So I had to have things, the majority of these drinks in here you can blend. You don't have to have a juicer. Enzyme enhancer for the wonderful benefit of enhancing digestion. Fatigue buster. Let's face it, be honest. How many people would like to have more energy? Well, now you can, because I give you the exact recipe, show you how easy and quick to make this fatigue-busting juice in the morning. And how about if you, an anti-aging juice? Well, I give you anti-aging juices and the free radical quenching juices and the calming stomach juices and the relaxation and head clear. We all wake up at some point where we're just not clear in the morning. Maybe we've eaten the wrong food, stayed up too late. Maybe you've had something you shouldn't have had in your system. This clears the head, but it's a specific juice. And for kids want things that taste good but are good. And if a parent is looking at after the interest of the kid and knows you can't always get a kid to sit and have a hot breakfast or a good meal, give them the nutrients in a juice. So I made smoothies. Smoothies that give them their complete vegetable protein, enzymes, high levels of fiber, B-complex, to enhance their immune system, to make them healthier, and to let them have the brain power and a calmness that they wouldn't otherwise have. If they run off to school with some caffeine in their system, they're going to be bouncing on the walls, likely end up drawing attention to themselves in a way that ends up giving them an artificial label. Ah, troubled child. Trouble equals attention deficit. So I have an orange berry lime slush. Tastes great. Now, I've got all kinds of cold weather, warm weather, hot weather drinks. You give a kid this in the morning, or you take this in the morning with strawberries, raspberries, blackberries, boysenberries, oranges, limes, and herbs, you're going to feel great. You're going to have your quenched thirst. You're going to help your intestine. You're going to flood your body with enzymes. It's there, the detox juices I've got. So part of the book is just loaded with immune-enhancing drinks, juices, smoothies that are phenomenal. Kids will love them. You'll love them. Enormous variety, dozens and dozens. But then I get into the wonderful cereals and hot breakfasts like sweet rice cream cereal and pancakes and And then I get into soups and wonderful soups for all seasons. And mind you, if you want to lose weight, these recipes are weight loss recipes. Salads galore, all kinds of salads. And in fact, I just made yesterday I made a succotash salad, and no one had ever had that. Oh, it was so spicy and delicious. And it's in here. And then I made a tomato garlic pasta salad using rice pasta and garlic. It is just yummy, yummy, yummy. And people loved it. And they ate every inch of it. It was gone. And I cook big servings. I don't believe in starving people. In fact, everyone who's on my program know that you eat more than you ever ate in your life, but you lose weight. But there's also healing herbs in here and the red potato salad. So you can take these to work with you. I take mine. I'll be over there a little later after the show. I'll be at the staff table, and I sit there, and I'll take out my salad. And today I made up some savory croutons and some thyme croutons. I'm going to have that in a curried Waldorf salad. And then I'll have my juice, and then I'll also have some dressings. A lot of things are boring. Goodness gracious. Not a health food restaurant I've gone in the city. Does anybody know anything about making dressings? You know, they give you some toasted sesame seeds or sesame sauce or some stupid, you know, tofu, you know, carrot. That be careful about eating that stuff. Well, why not a Dijon salad dressing, or making a really blackberry nectarine salad dressing, or a lemon garlic salad dressing, or a mixed citrus vinaigrette, or sesame orange sauce over your rice. Yeah, sesame orange sauce. Hey, put some mojo back into those rice and beans. I know you got to fire one of the chefs in the restaurant, the one that takes the flavor out of food and makes food boring, but hey, I hide it when I was invited to eat this macro cooking school. God, I didn't even make it to the second entree. I had to leave. It just... People are going out to, mint dressing. Why not have a mint dressing across that brown rice? And how about a tahini garbanzo bean dressing with you can dip things into a curried orange sauce across your steamed broccoli. Make it more tasty. And how about a walnut pesto sauce or a guacamole Bermuda onion dip for your... for what you're eating. Anyway, I've got dozens of dips and sauces. Then I made a pizza. And I kind of wanted to have fun with it, so I made the pizza. And like I tricked my brother, I gave my older brother and his kids some bacon and sausage and some ham and, some bacon and eggs and some ham and eggs for breakfast. And, of course, they're from West Virginia, and, if, you know, even if you peel it off a curb, they'll eat it. And so I gave it to them, and they were all happy about it, and they were smiling. Gee, you know, Uncle Gary's not giving us that rabbit food. Oh, no, there was no bacon. There was no eggs. I tricked them. It was all vegetarian, all vegan, all healthy. Isn't it amazing? You have to trick people to get a healthy food in, but if it didn't taste good, they're not going to eat it. So what I do, I made a pizza. Now, a pizza is just what you don't want if you have allergies and you want to congest your intestine and colon, but you can make it healthy. You can make it with no dairy. You can make it wheat-free, and you can make it as good as can be. So I made a pizza that looked like it had pepperoni and sausages and lots of cheese and tomato sauce and all this stuff on it. And I took it over, and it was on a Saturday, and I put it on the office because I work on Saturdays, and I put it on the desk. It was gone about 3 hours later, and I said, "What'd you think of the pizza?" "Oh, you gave us a pizza, yeah. It was good." Okay. "Good?" "No, it was good. No, we liked it." These are pizza eaters. Well, they ate a healthy pizza, vegan, non-dairy, low-calorie, and actual healing nutrients. Macaroni broccoli quiche is in there. Spicy Texas chili. That'll take your tongue 14 times around your mouth. It is good tasting. I like spicy foods that doesn't upset the stomach, but actually those spices enhance antibacterial, antiviral properties, enhance getting rid of parasites, enhance proper digestion. Curried red lentil stew, you bet. Some lentil burgers if you've got kids. Oh, we got all kinds of delicious main entrees. But the real kick is when you can give desserts that taste better than the worst junk food dessert, but taste in a way that people will appreciate, and they never figure it's healthy. But I've got banana cocoa sundaes, banana nutmeg sundaes with pineapple and coconut sauce. I've got those Wonder Juice floats that people used to use with ice cream and Coca-Cola. Well, I got something that tastes better than that, but has none of that bad in it. And this coming summer season, you can make strawberry chocolate pops, creamsicle pops. You can make raspberry melon pops and kiwi lime pops and tropical pops and cherry fruit pops. In fact, I made some cherry fruit pops last night because I knew I was going to be up from midnight to 9. I was 9 hours. I was up because I was doing Roy Hollywood and overnight helping him answer questions and helping KPFK. And so I have those, and the way I make them, they give you energy, and they have antioxidants in them, and they taste great. They taste just like a popsicle, except there's no gelatin, there's no sugar, they're sweet, they're delicious, and it's wonderful. A lemon lime slush. I did in the 20K championship race on Sunday in the park, and there were some of the athletes from some of the other teams taking caffeine. And I was looking because I saw some of the things, and they'd be taking that Jolt stuff that has enormous amount of caffeine. Well, you keep taking that every lap, you don't realize you got 1,000 milligrams of caffeine in. My God, they look like one guy looked like a cockroach on speed. I mean, his hair was sticking up. He was so wired. Sure, he could finish a race, but man, he wouldn't go to calm down for the next 4 days. Well, every time I went by, I got handed a lemon lime slush. Yeah, lemon lime. By the end of the race, it wasn't quite a slush, but it picked me up and carried me through the race. And I came from behind and went on to win in the overall, my age group, and it felt good. I was pumping right up in second place and third place overall at the end of the first 10K. I took fourth place overall. Orange pineapple slush, had that too. And we'll be using that in the New York City Marathon, in fact. Because we normally use watermelon, but now we're using some of these other fun things because they're more fun. Tastes different. Every meal you get a different taste. I make a tropical ambrosia pudding. You can make it now. Strawberry compote with saffron flowers. You talk about exotic. You have that and someone goes, ooh, Martha Stewart couldn't do this. No, Martha can't. It's kind of a sterile thing they do. This isn't sterile. This is avant-garde. This is cheeky, cheeky stuff. Strawberry compote with saffron flowers. You're going to say, ooh, what's that about? That looks cool. You bet it looks cool. And then you can sprinkle some granola that I even give you a recipe for my delightful granola on there. And then how about some Almond Joy with soy? Oh, yeah. And cherry grape canteen and a healthy fondue and cherry yogurt sauce and smooth vanilla sauce. Vanilla sauce? How do you make that? Make any cake, pie, cookie, dessert. Now, vegetarians are really creative when they want to be. And you can make anything really razzle-dazzle. And it's fun to have that little sparkle sensation come off your tongue when you've eaten something that you couldn't get anywhere else. And it's healthy and it's good for you and it's healing. And you think, this is just too good to be good for me. Oh, yeah. We should never compromise. After all, if you want to be healthy, the recipes are here. So this is what it is. Joy juicing is just the next step to fill in the gaps of why you can juice, detox, build your immune system, help you if you've got diabetes, and you can. These are healthy recipes, healing recipes, cleansing recipes, fun recipes, easy to use. They've been perfected, they've been tested, they've been judged, and they made it into the Joy of Juicing cookbook. Now all you have to do is call this station and say, I want some of them, oh, Joe, because my Mo ain't Joeing, and now it can. So you wake up, and you decide what you're going to eat today, and if you want that apple pecan cobbler, you can have it. And this is actually going to help you lose weight. And don't worry, if you're from the South, for all my friends who join me from the South, I know what you used to eat that got all that fat on you. It was sweet potato pie. Well, I make a sweet potato pie with a sweet potato crust. Of course, egg-free and dairy-free and sugar-free, but you wouldn't know that because it's the delicious crust. Now you can have that yummy dessert and feel no guilt, no shame. and I want to get gains. So give us a call right now and get the joy juicing so you can start making those right moves.
All right, and our number here in these final few minutes, Armand DeMille will be coming up at 1 o'clock. Our number here, area code 212-209-2950. And, of course, the joy of juicing, that book that Gary is speaking about, brand new, actually pre-new. I guess if you can have pre-owned cars, you can have pre-new books. In fact, we have that book available to you with our thanks for those of you who can join us as members for a $75 pledge. Of course, the Baby Boomer's Guide to Life for 100, but we're going to concentrate strictly on the Joy of Juicing book, Creative Cooking with Your Juicer. As Gary pointed out, a lot of the recipes have been designed so that if you don't have a juicer, not all of them, but most of them, if you don't have a juicer, they can be adapted for the blender. So that opens the door even wider for those of you out there. And, of course, the range of juices is extraordinary, from soups to entrees to salad dressings to various dips and the like, as well as the traditional energy juices and cleansing juices and all the rest. We have eight people on the line right now. Just a very few minutes before we clear out of here and make room for Armand DeMille. Gary will be back in an extended format tomorrow, beginning, in fact,
10
a.m.
10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and I'm going to have a lot of heavy program on tomorrow. Tomorrow is heavy day, not with weight, with thought. So if you're one of those people who enjoy some intense conversation, you won't want to miss tomorrow. Again, I'm not on at noon. I'm on at 10 to whatever.
Whatever. We'll figure that one out.
10 to whatever.
After 1 o'clock, I think, or 2 o'clock. But it's going to be a long show tomorrow, and it starts at 10.
Okay. In the wax philosophic mode. So Gary Noll will be waxing philosophic instead of Anastasia and Marv tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. 212-209-2950. Those phones are busy. They're lit. If no one is picking you up just yet, unfortunately, we are a little bit understaffed in the tally room at the moment. So be patient. Someone will get to you.
They weren't prepared for this onslaught at this moment.
No, they were getting altogether too relaxed back
there. They're on their way right now, and we have the board full. We have about 15 calls coming in right now, calling in with their support to WBAI, 212-209-2950. This is a listener-sponsored radio station, WBAI. For 41 years, we have been listener-sponsored and commercial-free. This particular program, Natural Living with Gary Noll, is central to our broadcast day here at WBAI, usually from 12 noon until 1 p.m. Gary Noll going up until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille takes over at 1 p.m. But tomorrow, as you heard, Gary will be here from 10 a.m. until whenever.
Until.
But we need you to call right now, to continue to call, to continue to wait. If someone is not picking you up right away, if you're not able to get through, please continue to call us at 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Use your Visa, your MasterCard, or American Express. You'll be pledging for the Baby Boomer's Guide to Getting It Right the second time around. For a pledge of $100, for a pledge of $75, you'll be getting the book that Gary was just talking about, The Joy of Juicing, Creative Cooking with Your Juicer. It is by Gary Noll and Shelley Noll. For a pledge of $150, you'll get them both, The Baby Boomer's Guide and The Joy of Juicing. 212-209-2950. We'd like to thank the restaurant, the Mexican Radio, for providing lunch to the volunteers yesterday afternoon, and Mineta Tavern for dinner yesterday. Thank you
very much. And the Mexican Radio restaurant is located on Cleveland Place. Now, for those of you who don't know Cleveland Place, next to Kenmare Street.
There you go.
Of course, those of you who, many people, even Manhattanites, are going, Kenmare Street, Cleveland Place, what is this? Well, Kenmare Street is basically Delancey West. Kenmare is basically Lafayette East.
They know what you're talking about.
We're in Astra. In fact, they There was a restaurant in that same space called Kwanzaa that, in fact, used to supply us wonderful food, greens and barbecue and stuff like that. They have moved on, but Mexican Radio is now in that space.
Mineta Tavern, the night before that, the Florent at 69 Gansforth Street. That's between Greenwich and Washington. As a matter of fact, that was, in fact, yesterday. And Nadine's at 99 Bank Street.
Thank you, Nadine.
Thank you, Nadine, for providing the dinner and the lunch to the Florent at Gansforth Street. Thank you very much. 212-209-2950. The phones are continually ringing now. Thank you very, very much. Make a gift subscription if you can. Make a basic membership to the radio station if you feel that is what you can do. The students, the seniors, those on fixed incomes, they can pledge $25 as well. But you need to make that call to us right now at 212-209-2950.
That's right. And again, if you're not being picked up immediately, we just ask for a little bit of patience.
Are we short on help? Is that it?
Yeah, we're short on we would be short on help even with a room full of people because the phones are so
true.
Busy.
How many calls are coming in?
I lost track. I think about 16 are coming in right now, and about 7 of them are picked up. So don't feel left out if your call isn't yet being picked up. It shall be. It certainly shall be as we move into the first couple of minutes of the Positive Mind this day. Again, 212-209-2950. You can make that pledge on the plastic if you have it on the credit card, Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. That will expedite things from our point of view and from your point of view as well. And listen to those bells go. Well, Gary, we've got just a few more minutes. We're going to have to just hope that these listeners
They can continue to call.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I mean, their calls will be taken if it starts after the hour.
That's correct.
And one of the things I intend to do is to once a month. In fact, I've already done it. Go up on the web and answer people's questions about any of the issues involved in the books they have, and I'll be doing it with the Joy Juicing because I know that people are going to be using it to experiment. I love to see people take a recipe and then kind of make it over in their own way if they choose to. And when you do that, please let me know because I'd like to share that with our audience as well. So these are all original recipes, and you're going to love them, and especially good for people who have any kind of illness because you want to build up the immune system. So that's what the Joy Juicing does. Cleanses, detoxifies, enhances, builds the immune system, supports your healing, and you do it with joy because you're not counting calories, because with these dishes, you don't have to.
All right. Remember that. With these dishes, you don't have to count calories. Yeah. And, of course, there's always that link between, you know, if you go for just weight loss using these protocols and these recipes, you find other things changing as well. Energy levels change. The quality of your skin changes. Elasticity of the skin changes. Who knows? Maybe even your hair will get stronger and healthier. That's part of the, dare we call it, the holistic approach on alternative health. 212-209-2950. We do now finally have some open lines. We've got 8 people who are being serviced right now, and we can take about 4 more of you. And as Gary said, again, you can continue to call in and make your pledge, The Joy of Juicing, $75 pledge, and that brand new book will be yours with our thanks for your pledge of support to the radio station. You can do it on the plastic. Folks will pick you up. You can continue calling in as we move on through this day on WBAI, which is 99.5 FM, listener-sponsored and non-commercial radio.
And thank you very, very much, Gary. We're going to sever our connection now and move on to the next program.
Well, you all have a very nice day. I'll look forward to seeing everyone back here at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning on WBAI, 99.5 FM. Please continue to support this important movement to help keep the voices that you hear on and help resolve the issues that we're in the process of doing. It's all in the process of healing, and we're also helping you heal yourself, and that's what the Joy Juicing is about. So you all have a nice day.
All right, thank you, and stay tuned. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll be